Good day. It is Monday, November 24th, 2014, and we want to welcome you to another episode of Extra Time, a weekly conversation with the national newspapers, sports writers, and editors on UAE and international sports. My name is Aaron Gray, a sports production journalist for the National, and today I have senior sports editor Graham Cagle with me, and we're going to discuss a fantastic F1 weekend in Abu Dhabi. Graham, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
What a weekend. I know a lot of us around here are not on too much sleep, but just wanted to commend you, Graham, and all our other writers and photographers for fantastic coverage over this excellent weekend.
No, it was very, very busy, but as you said, it's one of the biggest weekends of the year, and 60,000 people were here at Yas to watch it on race day. It was a fantastic event.
It was good stuff. Leading into the race, it was supposed to be a big showdown between the Mercedes drivers, but essentially that showdown ended at the start. So if you can break down the beginning of the race and what happened there.
Well, there'd been a lot of intrigue going into it because Hamilton only needed to finish in the top two to be champion, while Nico Rosberg had to win and really hope for anything bad to happen to Hamilton. And Nico was on pole, and there was a lot of intrigue on how he was going to run the race because the Mercedes cars have been the dominant forces on the grid this year. But and if they'd run first and second normally, they would pull away comfortably from everyone else. But that was not going to do Nico any favours if he'd done that race. There'd been a lot of intrigue on how whether he was going to run maybe not quite at full pace to try and keep Lewis within range of the other cars. So if something did happen or there was problems later on in the race or an unexpected safety car, that could become a factor. But as you said, Lewis made sure that all that debate was irrelevant as he made an absolute scorching start and blasted away into the lead at the first corner. And he never really looked back from there. He controlled the race beautifully. As we'll go into later, Nico had problems which lessened his threat. But up until then, Lewis had him covered. He wasn't pulling away massively, but the gap was around between 2 to 3 seconds regularly. And Lewis made sure that he won the championship the proper way by winning at the front.
I understand that Nico Rosberg experienced some car trouble. How early on in the race was that detected, and how did that affect his chances?
Well, the first 20 laps or so of the race were very, very intriguing. There was about 1/10 or 2/10 here or there between Hamilton and Rosberg, as it's kind of been all season. They've been very, very close. Hamilton's done the better job in terms of race wins, obviously, with it now reads 11-5 over the season in his favour against Rosberg. But Rosberg's never been that far away, and it was the same here. There was inches here and there. Hamilton was just shading it, but it was very, very close, and that it probably would have been that way right down to the finish. But then Rosberg started having problems with the power coming out of his engine. His ERS unit, his energy recovery system, started misfiring, and it was losing him up to 3 to 4 seconds lap, and his pace very quickly dropped. It was quite obvious in the media room where we've got the timing screens. He started dropping a second a lap and then more to Hamilton. That something was seriously up, and he came over the team radio and said he was losing power. And there was nothing he could do about it. And it was actually quite admirable of Rosberg. He was given the option by the team of stopping the car because towards the end of the race, there was nothing he could do. He was falling further and further back. He was powerless to stop slower cars passing him. But no, get gallant to the end. Rosberg chose to finish the race and then went and sought Hamilton out to congratulate him.
I know they've kind of had a frosty relationship this year, but these two kind of grew up together. They've been competing together for a while. They're on the same team, but it was pretty early on this season that this would be a two-driver race from the same team. So talk a little bit more about Rosberg congratulating Hamilton, and what do you think they're going to go moving on now, these two?
I think it was a nice gesture from Nico, and it did show that there is a friendship still there, apart from everything else. The difficulty was always going to be, as you said, it became very, very obvious about the first or second race that the Mercedes car had a clear performance advantage over everyone else, and that it was going to be those two up against each other. And they were, and as you said, they knew each other from their karting days. They raced against each other. They go back a long way, and they were very good friends in the F1 paddock. And they had quite a good relationship in their first year when they were teammates in 2013. But that's when they weren't really challenging for the title. Obviously, the championship changes a lot of dynamics. And you can be the best friends of all, but if only one of you can be champion, which is the case here, it will affect things. And it did boil over a lot over the year. There was the incident in Monaco when Hamilton claimed Rosberg had deliberately gone off in qualifying to stop him having a final run at taking pole position. There was obviously in Hungary when Rosberg was very upset when Hamilton ignored team orders to let him through. And then in Belgium, they actually collided. So it got very niggly during the season. But I think one of the most important reasons why they calmed it down between themselves was because a Mercedes car is that good. They almost certainly will start as the two favourites for next season's championship as well. And it, depending on whether the regulations change further, quite frankly, for 2016 and 2017, the way this is going, if it remains an engine-dominated formula, which it is at the moment, then Mercedes will continue to hold over cars. They do the best job. They've got the strongest power units, and Ferrari and Renault seem incapable of getting anywhere near them on that. So I think going forward, it was important for both of them to show they could work together because of the fact like it's very the car's going to stay good, but if they're being too dysfunctional and continue to collide, the team is likely to change one of them, or if not both of them, and the other 18 drivers on the grid would all be very, very keen to get in that car given the opportunity. So I think their relationship calmed down. I think there generally is a warmth between them still anyway, and that showed in how they interacted afterwards. And I think going forward, it will be more of the same next season. They will be the championship favourites, and I think it's going to be a fascinating season again. Rosberg clearly has a strong qualifying pace. He just needs to be more consistent in the races now if he's to match Lewis.
Right, looks like maybe we are in the beginning of a Mercedes dynasty here in Formula One. But, you know, after Sunday's race, I saw Prince Harry was in the house, which is, I'm sure, good for a lot of the British brethren in the UAE. For this win in Lewis Hamilton, bringing back the title to Great Britain, what does this do for his legacy in the sport? I know this is his second title now.
I think it's a very, very big deal to him, but he's always been very keen. He's kind of looked at the legends of sport when he was growing up. He liked to sort of link himself a little bit to Ayrton Senna and how he raced and such. And Ayrton Senna won 3 world titles. He also was very fond of Alain Prost. Prost won 4. A good driver can win a world championship, but a great win multiple titles. And I think Hamilton's already been aware of that. Like, his rivals on the grid, Alonso had 2. He's had to sit through the last 4 years of watching Sebastian Vettel win in the old conquering Red Bull machine. So he's bided his time, he's been patient, and now he's got his chance to rack up a couple more titles here himself. It's, in a way, he's actually done something Alonso and Vettel haven't done, very interestingly, in that a lot of the time in F1, a driver gets into a good car and wins titles, but then that's it. But to do it once, but then move to another team and do it with a different set of mechanics and a different car proves, you know, shows the adaptability of a driver. And that's exactly what we've seen here with Hamilton, because he won his first world title in 2008 with McLaren, and then he's won this year with Mercedes, so showing his versatility, and that, you know, that does really lift him, because I think he's, as I understand, I think he's only the 10th driver to ever do to win multiple titles but with different teams, and he's the first one since Michael Schumacher. So obviously he's kind of lifting his legacy up. And as I just said, I think he's definitely going to start, as in my opinion, as a strong favourite to make it a third world title next year, which would definitely lift him to be among the greats of the sport.
He's a young guy. He looks like he still has quite a long future ahead of him. One surprise from Sunday's race was the two Williams drivers on the podium. That hasn't happened since 2005. So talk about a great ending for them to the F1 season.
Well, they've been really probably the nicest surprise this season. I mean, a great renaissance of the British team. They had great success in the 80s and 90s and won a lot of championships, but as it's become a more manufacturer based sport rather than sort of independent constructors, Williams have fallen away further back. Lack of funding and probably a few bad car designs along the way had hurt them, but they've got a very, very good car this year, and they had the powerful Mercedes engines which have really helped them. And in Felipe Massa and Valtteri Bottas, they had an excellent driving lineup. Bottas has been one of the, you know, finds of the season. He's, you know, he had a solid first rookie season, but with an uncompetitive car. But this year, he's really stepped up and really well. And Mass has gone from strength to strength as the season has gone on. And in many ways, he'll be disappointed the season's ending now, because he's finished so strongly. He's outraced Bottas in the last 3 races. He was on the podium in Brazil in third place, and then probably given a couple more laps, he might have had a real crack at Hamilton in the late stage, because he was really pushing Hamilton hard in Abu Dhabi, and that was one of the few occasions this season when someone has really, outside the Mercedes cars, has really pushed a Mercedes guy really hard in a race. So it's very, very impressive. In a way, it's a shame the season's ending for them.
Right, looks like Williams will be a factor next year as they come back. And another driver I wanted to talk to you about was Daniel Ricciardo from Red Bull Racing. Now, he finished 3rd overall in the Drivers' Championship, but was in the back of the grid on Sunday with Sebastian Vettel leaving Red Bull. What does that do for Daniel, and what were his chances for next year?
I think they're very, very good of him and again impressing and getting up there and possibly challenging for race wins. I think, unfortunately, unless Renault can somehow find some kind of performance in that engine, which is very difficult with the engine freeze regulations currently in the sport, I think it's going to be more of the same from that. But what he's done this year has been exceptional, because he's mixed it with the Mercedes engine cars. He's won three times, and probably his victory in Hungary was one of the best races of the season, and it was a very, very good old-fashioned victory, passing guys late on. But it's also the fact that he's actually outperformed Vettel, because obviously Vettel's a four-time world champion, and you know, to put him in the shade as he has done has been a magnificent achievement, and I've got high expectations for the Australian next year. And I think he summed up in Abu Dhabi as well, because, as you said, both Red Bull started from the back of the grid in the pit lane because of the technical infringement of the front wings in qualifying. And I didn't really fancy their chance of progressing much because of the lack of straight line speed of the Renault engines. But Ricciardo made his strategy work. He did something slightly different. He passed people when he needed to, drove very intelligently. And I think, definitely, given the right machinery, he's a future world champion in the making.
Excellent, excellent. And just wanted to talk and look back a little bit, Graham. And I know you've been covering this race for the last 6 years since it's been in Abu Dhabi, and it looks like it continues to gain momentum. This weekend was a sellout race, but it was also the season finale. That's not the first time that's happened here, but the double points really made it interesting. Was this one of the more exciting races you've covered in Abu Dhabi?
Oh, absolutely, with question. The fact, like, it's going to always go down in history now as possibly the first and more likely the only double points race in F1 history, because the format's likely to be dropped by the FIA next month. But to have a championship decided here is fantastic. It's only happened once before in 2010, and that was an exciting occasion. But I think in many ways this one was even more exciting because of the unpredictability and the fact it was just two guys. The scenario is fairly straight, I think. The fact that there was a lot of, I think, expat British residents here, and I think quite a few flew over for this, made it a real strong atmosphere. I think it was one of the best ones we've had yet.
I think the double points factor for this race was quite intriguing, and maybe a lot of F1 fans that don't normally tune in, it probably grabbed their attention. So why would the FIA drop it next month? Why do you think so?
There's been quite a big backlash from the teams and the drivers. It was kind of forced in by Bernie Eccleston when no one was really looking. I think, on the one hand, yes, it adds entertainment to it, and it added some unpredictability. And, you know, it did actually make the scenario much more exciting, I will give it that, for Abu Dhabi, because if it had been a normal point scenario of 25, 18, 15, 12, 10, etc., we still would have had a championship decider here, but Hamilton would have had a much bigger margin for error, because he could have got away with finishing sixth in the race. Well, as it was, he had to finish second thanks to double points. So it was great in that respect.
I think Lewis Hamilton kind of left no doubts by winning the championship altogether, by taking it home, and then winning the F1 world title. That's all we have time for. Graham Cagle is the National Senior Sports Editor, and he is one of our F1 extraordinaires. This episode was edited by the National's Multimedia Desk. You can now listen to our podcast by logging on to our homepage. You can also follow our sports coverage on Twitter at SPRT National UAE and the multimedia coverage at NSV UAE. My name is Aaron Gray. Thank you for listening.